Chapter 148. How Ralph Nickleby's auxiliary went about his work, and how he prospered with it. It was a dark, wet, gloomy night in autumn, when in an upper room of a mean house situated in an obscure street, or rather court, near Lambeth, there sat, all alone, a one-eyed man grotesquely habited, either for lack of better garments or for purposes of disguise, in a loose greatcoat, with arms half as long again as his own, and a capacity of breadth and length which would have admitted of his winding himself in it, head and all, with the utmost ease, and without any risk of straining the old and greasy material of which it was composed. So attired, and in a place so far removed from his usual haunts and occupations, and so very poor, and wretched in its character, perhaps Mrs. Squeers herself would have had some difficulty in recognizing her lord. Quickened though her natural sagacity doubtless would have been by the affectionate yearnings and impulses of a tender wife. But Mrs. Squeers' lord it was, and in a tolerably disconsolate mood Mrs. Squeers' lord appeared to be, as, helping himself from a black bottle which stood on the table beside him, he cast round the chamber a look, in which very slight regard for the objects within view, was plainly mingled with some regretful and impatient recollection of distant scenes and persons. There were, certainly, no particular attractions, either in the room over which the glance of Mr. Squeers so discontentedly wandered, or in the narrow street into which it might have penetrated, if he had thought fit to approach the window. The attic chamber in which he sat, was bare and mean. The bedstead, and such few other articles of necessary furniture as it contained, were of the commonest description, in a most crazy state, and of a most uninviting appearance. The street was muddy, dirty, and deserted. Having but one outlet, it was traversed by few, but the inhabitants at any time, and the night being one of those on which most people are glad to be within doors, it now presented no other signs of life than the dull glimmering of poor candles from the dirty windows, and few sounds but the pattering of the rain, and occasionally the heavy closing of some creaking door. Mr. Squeers continued to look disconsolately about him, and to listen to these noises in profound silence, broken only by the rustling of his large coat, as he now, and then moved his arm, to raise his glass to his lips. Mr. Squeers continued to do this for some time, until the increasing gloom warned him to snuff the candle. Seeming to be slightly roused by this exertion, he raised his eye to the ceiling, and fixing it upon some uncouth and fantastic figures, traced upon it by the wet and damp which had penetrated through the roof, broke into the following soliloquy. "Well, this is a pretty go, is this here? An uncommon pretty go. Here have I been, a matter of how many weeks hard upon six a-follering up this here blessed old dowager petty larcenerer," apostrophe Mr. Squeers delivered himself of this epithet with great difficulty and effort, "and those boys all a-running itself regularly to see the while. That's the worst of ever being in with a audacious chap like that old Nickleby. You never know when he's done with you, and if you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound." Apostrophe, this remark, perhaps, reminded Mr. Squeers, that he was in for £100 at any rate. His countenance relaxed, and he raised his glass to his mouth with an air of greater enjoyment of its contents than he had before evinced. "I never see," apostrophe soliloquized Mr. Squeers in continuation, "I never see, nor come across such a file as that old Nickleby. Never. He's out of everybody's depth, he is. He's what you may call a rasper, is Nickleby. To see how sly and cunning he grubbed on, day after day, a worming and plotting and tracing and turning and twining of hisself about, till he found out where this precious Mrs. Peg was hid, and cleared the ground for me to work upon. Creeping and crawling and gliding, like a ugly old bright-eyed, stagnation-blooded adder. Ah! He'd have made a good un in our line, but it would have been too limited for him. His genius would have busted all bonds, and coming over every obstacle, broke down all before it, till it erected itself into a monument of well, I'll think of the rest, and say it when convenient. Apostrophe, making a halt in his reflections at this place, Mr. Squeers again put his glass to his lips, and drawing a dirty letter from his pocket, proceeded to con over its contents with the air of a man who had read it very often, and now refreshed his memory rather in the absence of better amusement than for any specific information. The pigs as well, apostrophe said Mr. Squeers, the cows as well, and the boys as bobbish. Young Sprouter has been a-winking, has he? I'll wink him when I get back. Cobby would persist in sniffing, while he was a-eating his dinner, and said that the beef was so strong it made him. Very good, Cobby, we'll see if we can't make you sniff a little without beef. Pitcher was took with another fever, of course he was, and being fetched by his friends, died the day after he got home, of course he did, and out of aggravation. It's part of a deep-laid system. There and another chap in the school, but that boy as would have died exactly at the end of the quarter. Taking it out of me to the very last, and then carrying his spite to the utmost extremity. The juniorist Palmer said he wished he was in heaven. I really don't know, I do not know what's to be done with that young fellow. He's always a-wishing something horrid. He said once, he wished he was a donkey, because then he wouldn't have a father as didn't love him. Pretty wishes that for a child of six. Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Squeers was so much moved by the contemplation of this hardened nature in one so young, that he angrily put up the letter, and sought, in a new train of ideas, a subject of consolation. It's a long time to have been a lingering in London, apostrophe he said. And this is a precious hole, to come and live in, even if it has been only for a week or so. Still, £100 is 5 boys, and 5 boys takes a whole year, to pay £100, and there's their keep to be subtracted. Besides, there's nothing lost, neither, by one's being here, because the boy's money comes in just the same, as if I was at home, and Mrs. Squeers she keeps them in order. There'll be some lost time to make up, of course. There'll be an arrear of flogging as'll have to be gone through. Still, a couple of days makes that all right, and one don't mind a little extra work for £100. It's pretty nigh the time to wait upon the old woman. From what she said last night, I suspect that, if I'm to succeed at all, I shall succeed tonight, so I'll have half a glass more. To wish myself success, and put myself in spirits. Mrs. Squeers, my dear, your health. Apostrophe apostrophe, leering with his one eye, as if the lady to whom he drank, had been actually present, Mr. Squeers in his enthusiasm, no doubt poured out a full glass, and emptied it, and as the liquor was raw spirits, and he had applied himself to the same bottle more than once already, it is not surprising that he found himself, by this time, in an extremely cheerful state, and quite enough excited for his purpose. What this purpose was soon appeared. For, after a few turns about the room to steady himself, he took the bottle under his arm, and the glass in his hand, and blowing out the candle, as if he purposed, being gone some time, stole out upon the staircase, and creeping softly to a door opposite his own, tapped gently at it. But what's the use of tapping? Apostrophe apostrophe he said, she'll never hear. I suppose she isn't doing anything very particular. And if she is, it don't much matter, that I see. Apostrophe, with this brief preface, Mr. Squeers applied his hand to the latch of the door, and thrusting his head into a garret far more deplorable than that he had just left, and seeing that there was nobody there, but an old woman, who was bending over a wretched fire, for, although the weather was still warm, the evening was chilly, walked in, and tapped her on the shoulder. Well, my slider, apostrophe said Mr. Squeers, jocularly. Is that you? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Peg. Ah, it's me, and me's the first person singular nominative case, agreeing with the verb it's, and governed by Squeers understood, as a acorn, a hour, But when AH is sounded, BA only is to be used, as A, and, A art, AI way, apostrophe replied Mr. Squeers, quoting at random from the grammar. At least, if it isn't, you don't know any better, and if it is, I've done it accidentally. Apostrophe, delivering this reply in his accustomed tone of voice, in which of course it was inaudible to Peg, Mr. Squeers drew a stool to the fire, and placing himself over against her, and the bottle and glass on the floor between them, roared out again, very loud, "Well, my slider! Apostrophe, apostrophe, I hear you, apostrophe," said Peg, receiving him very graciously. "I've come according to promise, apostrophe," roared Squeers. "So they used to say in that part of the country I come from, apostrophe," observed Peg, complacently, "but I think oil's better." "Apostrophe, better than what?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," roared Squeers, adding some rather strong language in an undertone. "No, apostrophe," said Peg, "of course not. Apostrophe, I never saw such a monster as you are." "Apostrophe, apostrophe," muttered Squeers, looking as amiable as he possibly could the while, for Peg's eye was upon him, and she was chuckling fearfully, as though in delight at having made a choice repartee. "Do you see this? This is a bottle." "Apostrophe, I see it," apostrophe answered Peg. "Well, and do you see this?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," bawled Squeers. "This is a glass." "Apostrophe," Peg saw that too. "See here, then," apostrophe said Squeers, accompanying his remarks with appropriate action, "I fill the glass from the bottle, and I say your health, slider, and empty it. Then I rinse it gently with a little drop, which I'm forced to throw into the fire. Hello, we shall have the chimney light next. Fill it again, and hand it over to you." "Apostrophe, your health," apostrophe said Peg. "She understands that, anyways," apostrophe muttered Squeers, watching Mrs. Sliderskew as she dispatched her portion, and choked and gasped in a most awful manner after so doing. "Now then, let's have a talk. How's the rheumatics?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," Mrs. Sliderskew, with much blinking and chuckling, and with looks expressive of her strong admiration of Mr. Squeers, his person, manners, and conversation, replied that the rheumatics were better. "What's the reason?" apostrophe said Mr. Squeers, deriving fresh facetiousness from the bottle. "What's the reason of rheumatics? What do they mean? What do people have them for, eh?" Apostrophe, Mrs. Sliderskew didn't know, but suggested that it was possibly because they couldn't help it. "Measles, rheumatics, whooping cough, fevers, agers, and lumbagers," apostrophe said Mr. Squeers, "is all philosophy together. That's what it is. The heavenly bodies is philosophy, and the earthly bodies is philosophy. If there's a screw loose in a heavenly body, that's philosophy. And if there's screw loose in a earthly body, that's philosophy too. Or it may be that sometimes there's a little metaphysics in it, but that's not often. Philosophy's the chap for me. If a parent asks a question in the classical, commercial, or mathematical line, says I, gravely, 'Why, sir, in the first place, are you a philosopher?' 'No, Mr. Squeers,' he says, 'I ain't.' 'Then, sir,' says I am sorry for you, for I shan't be able to explain it.' Naturally, the parent goes away, and wishes he was a philosopher, and, equally naturally, thinks I'm one." Apostrophe, saying this, and a great deal more, with tipsy profundity and a serio-comic air, and keeping his eye all the time on Mrs. Sliderskew, who was unable to hear one word, Mr. Squeers concluded by helping himself and passing the bottle, to which Peg did becoming reverence. "That's the time of day," apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Squeers. "You look 20 pound 10 better than you did." Apostrophe, again Mrs. Sliderskew chuckled, but modesty forbade her assenting verbally to the compliment. 20 pound 10 better," apostrophe repeated Mr. Squeers, "than you did that day, when I first introduced myself. Don't you know?" Apostrophe, "Ah." Apostrophe, apostrophe said Peg, shaking her head, "but you frightened me that day." Apostrophe, "Did I?" apostrophe apostrophe said Squeers. Well, it was rather a startling thing for a stranger to come and recommend himself by saying that he knew all about you, and what your name was, and why you were living so quiet here, and what you had boned, and who you boned it from, wasn't it? Apostrophe apostrophe, Peg nodded her head in strong assent. But I know everything that happens in that way, you see, apostrophe continued Squeers. Nothing takes place of that kind that I end up to entirely. I'm a sort of a lawyer, slighter, of first-rate standing and understanding too. I'm the intimate friend and confidential advisor of pretty nigh every man, woman, and child that gets themselves into difficulties by being too nimble with their fingers. I'm apostrophe Mr. Squeers' catalog of his own merits and accomplishments, which was partly the result of a concerted plan between himself and Ralph Nickleby, and flowed, in part, from the black bottle, was here interrupted by Mrs. Sliderskew. Ha, ha, ha! Apostrophe, apostrophe, she cried, folding her arms and wagging her head. And so he wasn't married after all, wasn't he? Not married after all? Apostrophe, no, apostrophe, replied Squeers, that he wasn't. Apostrophe, and a young lover come, and carried off the bride, eh? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Peg. From under his very nose, apostrophe, replied Squeers. And I'm told the young chap cut up rough besides, and broke the winders, and forced him to swallow his wedding favor which nearly choked him. Apostrophe, tell me all about it again, apostrophe, cried Peg, with a malicious relish of her old master's defeat, which made her natural hideousness something quite fearful. Let's hear it all again, beginning at the beginning now, as if you'd never told me. Let's have it every word now, beginning at the very first, you know, when he went to the house that morning. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Squeers, plying Mrs. Sliderskew freely with the liquor, and sustaining himself under the exertion of speaking so loud by frequent applications to it himself, complied with this request by describing the discomfiture of Arthur Gride, with such improvements on the truth as happened to occur to him, and the ingenious invention and application of which had been very instrumental in recommending him to her notice in the beginning of their acquaintance. Mrs. Sliderskew was in an ecstasy of delight, rolling her head about, drawing up her skinny shoulders, and wrinkling her cadaverous face into so many and such complicated forms of ugliness, as awakened the unbounded astonishment and disgust even of Mr. Squeers. He's a treacherous old goat, apostrophe said Peg, and cozened me with cunning tricks and lying promises, but never mind. I'm even with him. I'm even with him. Apostrophe, more than even, slighter, apostrophe returned Squeers. You'd have been even with him if he'd got married, but with the disappointment besides. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.